Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you for tuning in to Buffalo Means Business on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'm Randy Bushover. The program highlights local businesses and services in the region. And if there's a local business or service you'd like to hear from, send me an email at randy.bushover@entercom.com. And not really a business technically or a service, well, but I guess a service. We have with us Lindy Korn from the law office of Lindy Korn, and something that continues to be in the news, and it's an important issue to discuss, so we're taking more than a few minutes that we normally would in the morning program to do just that with you. And that's, in particular, sexual harassment, and that continues to be a big thing in the news these days. It has not gone away.
Well, actually, it's been a big deal since mankind was put on this earth. And actually, I've been an attorney. This is my 40th year. And this has it's been a problem or an issue. It just, you know, later in our country's history, it became protected. And then I would say in the last, you know, 5 years, it has exploded as an issue that's been identified, certainly due to some public figures. And so now it's something that we can talk about.
Yeah, and you're right to correct me on that it has literally been with us for as long as we've been in existence, this problem of sexual harassment. But what is it about the last 5 years that has made us, quote unquote, enlightened on the subject?
Well, it's always been about power and the abuse of power. What I think has changed, actually, is our communication. So everything is documented now. It's almost like you don't have to have really a voice. So if it's an email or a text or a photograph or on LinkedIn or Snapchat or wherever, there's just so much documentation that people have felt more comfortable complaining. That's at least one answer.
And where we should start, I guess, is in the workplace. It's not really easy for a person who feels that they're being harassed to make that initial complaint.
No, in fact, that you're very astute to point that out, because that is a major problem, and perhaps that is why the last 5 years, you know, we've started to hear more about it. Because in the workplace, there's a tremendous amount of fear that if you need your job, and most people do, you need to shut up. Because if you were to complain, especially about somebody who is a supervisor on up, then you would fear retaliation, and most of all, you would fear the loss of your job.
And kind of walk us through the process. How is it supposed to work? You're supposed to be able to count on the people in human resources or whatever department head is in charge to kind of have your back.
Well, unfortunately, that's not the case necessarily, okay? I have the great respect for human resource persons, and that field has changed. But I don't think that the way that human resources is explained to employees in many places of employment, it's rather confusing. They know that HR handles benefits, or they might have to go to, you know, for instance, to ask for family medical leave. They have to go and get papers, you know, so they're kind of helpful for that. But when it comes to sexual harassment, you know, you have to understand that human resources is part of the business wherever an employee works. And so there's a lot of trepidation about, are they for me or are they for the employer? You know, you now have to do an investigation once there's a complaint, or if you don't, that will create a lot of risk. But what kind of investigation? Who does it? You know, and who gets the report? And who gets to see who was spoken to? I mean, all those issues are, you know, are hot buttons. But the other thing is, how much thought has gone into by the employer about making it easy to complain? And I can give you one example. There's a company that provides a hotline so that an employee could go home and from the comfort of their home They could call this number, and within 24 to 48 hours, there would be a sort of a transcript created and sent to the human resources from the employee who phoned it in. And that way, they don't have to worry about being seen at work or about directly confronting someone. They just talk into the phone.
And I know that a lot of things get tied up in legalese. Are we still at a point where we're having issues defining what particular words and or actions or combination constitute harassment? Is this something that is state to state different?
There could be different definitions, but federally, you know, the Supreme Court has spoken. Certainly, you know, for instance, New York City has the most liberal human rights law in the country. So they may have some different definitions. But as far as what constitutes sexual harassment, it is a topic we could spend hours on. And some of it depends on the context. So it's not, let's take a test, 1 through 10, you know, did you answer the questions? It's not like that, okay? And, you know, it takes a lot for someone to have a case because, you know, if it's not severe or pervasive, it will get thrown out. It will never last. And what is severe or pervasive? There are many cases that define it. It's still being defined. But, you know, the judiciary has, you know, its own look at other cases and its own standards. But generally, I would tell you there has to be a pattern. But then again, there could be one act that is so severe that that would be okay. But it's not easy. You can't just take something that is not severe or pervasive and think you're going to have a case.
Talking with Lindy Korn. She's with the Law Office of Lindy Korn. This is Buffalo Means Business on News Radio 930 WBEN. And sexual harassment, a majority of what you do, is that a fair assessment of the practice? Because there's certainly, I could tick off at least, 10 different bullet points of things that you guys really do.
Yeah, I mean, we represent employees who've been discriminated against or retaliated against based on what's called protected classes. So it could be sex, gender, same sex. It could be disability, religion. It could be race. It could be national origin. It could be pregnancy or lactation. I mean, those are all protections under the law. I do think that sex and gender and sexual harassment being a subset of that is certainly a focus.
And going back to specifically the sexual harassment part of the equation here, and we talked about the difficulties of people coming forward. Also, is it not quite the same or very similar to the church sexual abuse scandal, where you've got people that'll wait a length of time to come forward because, again, part of it being possible repercussions, but also how their circle of friends will perceive them based on this accusation?
Yes, you know, it as that goes to the issue of the context I was referring to before. And when you try to atomize a situation, that is never going to turn out well for the employee. You need to look at the whole situation. Time is not an employee's friend on this issue, you know. And even as far as witnesses or people feeling comfortable, that's another thing. People don't want to support people in something that they think can get them into trouble with their job, you know. So that's another problem in trying to assess credibility and to give support to the person who's complaining. It takes a lot of courage to complain about sexual harassment, whether you're a female or a male or any gender. It's a very difficult, lonely kind of thing that can create animosity. So I will say this to you. I think people who have truly been sexually harassed need to be working with a therapist of some sort. I'm not talking about medicine. I'm talking about, you know, a social worker or a PhD psychologist or someone of that nature, because you need somebody to vindicate you, to take away the shame and blame. And it's usually taking a toll on your life, your relationships, and you're frayed at every corner. So you really need perhaps a good lawyer and perhaps a good therapist.
And in order to get in touch with you, what is the best way? To give the office a call?
Yes, to give the office a call. It's 856-CORN, K-O-R-N.
Yeah, easy enough. Now, what other things, and we've got about 2.5-3 minutes just to give you a rough idea. What other things that are about this topic that people should know that maybe they don't?
Well, I think what people should know is that really it isn't okay. And sometimes people get discouraged when they see other people have complained and nothing happened. And so they don't believe that they can be heard. You know, that's a very common problem. Towards that end, you know, in real estate, they always say it's location, location, location. In an employee's discrimination case, it's documentation, documentation, documentation. But there's lots of situations that are in the gray area. For instance, if someone came up and gave you a hug and it was generally a welcoming hug, that's just what it is, okay? But if somebody comes up and gives you a hug, you know it because it doesn't feel like a welcoming touch. Certainly every woman who's ever been hugged knows the difference.
Right. Along the lines of like length of time of the hug or just
how close, how tight.
Or where the arms are placed, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So again, to the point, the burden of proof really is on the victim here, which
yes.
makes it even more difficult. You talked about documentation a moment ago.
Yes. And unfortunately, that is a big burden. And however, these things don't happen just once. There is a pattern when it's truly sexual harassment. Establishing that pattern, yes, that's a challenge. But I think all of the Weinstein, all of the cases have made people believe perhaps that they can make a difference, and that if it's not just one person's voice, you know, the credibility factor goes way up. So I suppose I would say that what's really important is that if somebody else knows about a complaint and they have something that would add to it, the only way it's going to change is if they find their way to, you know, give an affidavit or, you know, come and, you know, speak to somebody. And, you know, otherwise it's going to just keep happening.
Yeah, and I, as a on a personal note, this is not something that I've done recently, and I'm not exactly proud of it, but I've had risque comments back and forth with female coworkers, male coworkers. How does that fit in with this whole equation? Because on some level, and I hope I'm not taking too much of a leap here, but there was a return volley, if you will, so it was considered accepted in that case.
Yeah, so telling jokes or using, you know, sexual terminology, you know, again, it goes to the context, so I couldn't just answer one situation. But likely, if it was a back-and-forth banter, even if it was perhaps something that shouldn't happen because somebody else who's listening might be offended, even if, you know, the people involved directly were not, you know, I don't think that that's going to rise just if we're just going to take those facts alone. And again, though, it depends. You know, how often did you tell the joke? What kind of words were used? Was it every day? Did somebody say, I'm offended? Please stop. Do you know what? So those things matter. But for instance, if you said to me, well, I told 5 jokes, 1 a day, and every day I was watching porn on my computer and I invited my female coworker in to watch it. You know, that's a different story.
Yeah, right. Understood. All right. Lindy, again, the phone number one more time. I know
sure.
It's an easy one.
It's 716-856-KORN, KORN.
Lindy Korn from the Law Office of Lindy Korn. And again, mainly talking for this segment about sexual harassment, but certainly all areas of discrimination are things that her office can handle. This is Buffalo Means Business on News Radio 930 WBEN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.